Tonight's message, God Fills the Empty. God Fills the Empty. And let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll start there. 2 Kings chapter 4, Old Testament story here. And it's, of course, with Elisha, with the widow woman, the newly widowed, with the pot of oil. And, of course, very, you know, kind of a similar situation as with the other widow woman with Elijah, the widow at Zarephath, with the cruse of oil that didn't fail. So different circumstance, two different stories, but of course, some similarity there. But let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's go to verse 1. We'll start there. 2 Kings chapter 4. And then just starting in verse 1. And the Word of God says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house, or in thee house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a comfort and a joy that we can come into thy house of prayer even tonight, Lord. As sinful, as fallible as I am, Lord, my only plea is that the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, he shed for me. Lord, what an awesome, awesome thought. Lord, you know how far I fall of the glory of God, Lord, how wicked and sinful I am, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And Lord, tonight and all the other services, it's never about our merits. It's never about our worthiness, because we are unworthy of an audience with you. We are unworthy of salvation, yet you have chosen to save us, Lord, in our sin. And so, Father, we are just so thankful to be gloriously saved. Lord, it's all about your mercy, your goodness, that we can be to the praise of the glory of your grace. And so, Father, tonight we are here by your grace, Lord, to ask of you to bless the service, encourage our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Elisha, this Old Testament saint, this widow woman, Lord, and how you blessed her. And Lord, you've been there for all your saints, Lord, always constantly abiding. Lord, we love you. Bless now the preaching of thy word. Speak to hearts, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. A wonderful passage here. Of course, let me just kind of put it out there. You know, ever feel empty? You know, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of spinning my wheels, and it doesn't matter how empty I might feel, or how defeated I might feel. Maybe I feel like I'm just gathering vessels, but at the end of the day, they're just empty vessels. Okay, and I go, well, I spend my whole day, and all I got to show for it is just, you know, 10 empty boxes. You know, that's kind of how it is. But no matter how desperate we are, no matter how alone we might feel, God is always there, and God can fill us to the full. But we must trust in him, of course. Even if we don't understand his plan, even if we don't see the logic in his will, I kind of put myself in the widow woman's shoes here. Of course, what they need is food or money, not empty containers. That doesn't really do anything unless you can kind of sell air. Okay, but that's, you know, like, well, okay, what's the logic here? Of course, we know the story. She does it anyway. And that's commendable, a wonderful challenge for us. This is, again, a similar passage with what happened with Elijah, with the widow woman of Zarephath, of course, with the cruse of oil that doesn't fail. It just kept pouring out. That's a wonderful thing. Now, it's not just similar with that other miracle because it involves oil that doesn't run out. But beyond that, it's similar because it reveals the same God and his heart and faithfulness in providing for his people, not just in 1 Kings, not just in 2 Kings, but for his people throughout all ages down till today. Okay, so this is a picture of our God, our unchanging Father in heaven. And I just wanted to appreciate the context a little bit, because it's easy for me to read And it's not even reading between the lines. It is reading the lines. But sometimes I can kind of gloss over kind of the context, that the scripture that God is setting up for us. And so just to appreciate the context more, even in verse 1, we can kind of unpackage that a little bit here. There's a lot going on even in verse 1. And yes, this is the story of the pot of oil that doesn't run out, okay, until it fills all the empty vessels. But it's more than just a feel-good story. I mean, it is. It is a feel-good story. It shows God's provision. But this story actually starts on a pretty solemn note, pretty sad happening. In fact, the events get triggered because the husband dies. You know, dad dies. Dad passes on. And so that's how it starts here. And so it does start on a very solemn note. And certainly it can parallel the Christian life today, my life, your life. You know, the unthinkable can happen when we least expect it, when we don't want it to happen. Ready or not, it can happen. The unthinkable tragedies can happen to anyone. And so if you look at the context here, it is a God-fearing family with a God-fearing husband, God-fearing dad who passes away. Dad is to some capacity in ministry. Think of it that way. So dad maybe is a preacher, a disciple of the prophets, a follower of Elisha, and maybe even before that, Elijah. If you look at the story here, it says, now there cried a certain woman, so the newly widowed wife of the sons of the prophets. So the sons of the prophets, again, these are disciples of the prophets. Maybe they went to, you know, a seminary, or maybe they went to prophet school, Elisha school. So preacher boys, okay, but more than just preacher boys. I mean, these are preacher men. I mean, they have their own families, okay. These are grown adults that, you know, providers for their home. But the idea is this is a God-fearing man who's in ministry, serving as best as he can, okay. But the idea is, yes, even faithful Christian families can be hit by hard times. I mean, it's just very evident this is what's going on here. In fact, they are, even before dad dies, before the husband dies, they are already pretty poor. Okay, I mean, so the idea is, of course, after dad passes on, the creditor comes. And so apparently when dad was still alive, times had gotten so tight and so tough that even though dad was doing ministry work, okay, we can kind of draw that parallel to today. Even though he was busy for the Lord and a God-fearing man, financially it had gotten so tight that dad had kind of loaned himself out to a wealthy, you know, employer or, you know, landowner or whatever, loaned his services out to labor for that person in exchange for food or property or livestock or whatever, money, okay? And so dad had done that, which was actually a very common practice back in Bible days. You became a servant for someone, you know, and then you agree to work for them in exchange for, you know, for necessities, for, you know, things that he did not have, but he needed. And so that's what dad did. Then, of course, he passes away. The creditor comes and wants to make good of dad's bargain on his sons, which is actually perfectly legal back in the Bible days. I mean, there was no shady business going on. There was no persecution going on. It's just life. It got tough for them. And so this is if I want to picture a God-fearing family, Christian family, you want to think of it that way. We have dad or the husband serving in ministry. And even before dad dies, they were going through hard times. Okay, they didn't have much. Later on, when she's conversing with Elisha, she says, well, what do you have? So actually, we got nothing. All we have is this pot of oil. Maybe they've kind of downsized a little bit, you know, sell off bits or pieces of furniture up to that point. It doesn't tell us. But we know that they are a very poor family. I mean, we know that. Before dad even dies, they've already fallen in hard times. And then it gets worse, right? And when hardships come in real life, there's no quota, you know, like, oh, this good Christian family, they're already dirt poor. And so, you know, that's enough hardships. No, sometimes they come one wave after another. And so you think being dirt poor is bad enough. Well, now dad's dead. And then you think dad dying is bad enough, or your husband passing on, that's bad enough. Well, now the creditor comes, wants to take your two sons. I mean, so it's just worse, worse, worse. And so that's the circumstance. Godly people, faithful Christian families can fall on hard times. And now reading in between the lines, we don't know for sure, but the idea is, again, think of Israel during this time of kings. It's a very corrupt nation. They've really committed idolatry, and so everyone's turned away from God. And perhaps this family, they stood separated from all the unscrupulous activity of maybe their peers. Maybe there have been times dad was approached by his neighbors or business partners saying, hey, let's go into this deal, but it's not right. It's not a just dealing. And so because he's a God-fearing man, he kind of lets all these financial opportunities pass him by. Maybe that's kind of, you know, you can kind of add some additional context there. We don't know for sure, but we know he's God-fearing, so he's doing what's just. And if the society is unjust, which was also the backdrop to this story, then it makes a lot of sense that dad would not want to go in and you know, all his peers that are engaging with unethical and wicked, unjust business practices, they might come out ahead. And then meanwhile, dad here, he's trying to stick to the good book. Bottom line, he gets left out and they don't have a lot of money. You know, I'm just saying, you can kind of add this context, but the bottom line is, it's a God-fearing family, dad in ministry, but they've fallen on hard times. Now, here's the blessing. Even though that is happening, praise God that the widow woman, the mom, the wife, now with the head of the home passed on, when they come on hard times, who does she seek out? God. Now, Elisha is in the shoes of picturing God here. She doesn't go to the world. She goes to seek mercy from God, help from God. So that's a wonderful thing. If anything ever happened to me, I would pray, I would hope my family would keep seeking after the Lord. Don't compromise. Don't get bitter at God. Don't turn your back to the old path, but stay faithful. And so I want to commend the widow woman here. She goes to Elisha. She doesn't go to anywhere else. And so she comes to the Lord. She's brokenhearted, and she's seeking help. In verse 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall... In fact, the context here indicates that Elisha knew this dad. Because she says in verse 1, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear. I mean, so she goes, like, Elisha, you know my husband? Like, yeah, how's he doing? Well, he's passed away. He knows who her husband is, okay? And so from one godly man knowing another, okay? So what a blessing. So Elisha, I sense he wants to help, okay? So he says unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And so what do we have to work with? Where are we at? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And so they're pretty much down to the bare bones. All they have is a little pot with some oil in it. Not a whole much, a lot to go. Olive oil, not a whole lot to have. But God is going to stretch what he has given them. Of course, all we have comes from God. Whether we have 10,000 pots of oil, or whether we have one pot, whether we have a lot of stuff, or whether we have very little stuff, it all comes from who? From God. And God is going to stretch it. And so look at this. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, vessels meaning containers, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now, it doesn't tell her specifically how many, but it says, don't get a few, get a lot. And it says, verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now, to her credit, she just does it. That's fantastic. But if I would put myself in her shoes, I would probably be a little bit more doubtful. I might be a little bit more critical of this plan. My family needs food on the table, Mr. Elisha, and you're telling me to go get, you know, it's just like saying, all right, here's the plan, Wing. I want you to go to Sam's Club or Aldi's. And sometimes in the back shelf, they have empty boxes. I want you to grab those empty boxes and come home. And then you got that half a box of Cheerios, just going to fill up all those boxes and then set it aside. I'm like, wait, you want me to go to Aldi's and Sam's Club, not to get the boxes of food, but the empty boxes? I have starving kids. Empty boxes is not going to... I'm just saying, this is how I would... I can see myself in my flesh saying, no, I need more than this. Come on, my husband has been faithful to the Lord. Elisha, work a miracle right now. I mean, do it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? In my own way, I don't understand the logic in this. It's how much good is an empty vessel going to do? My takeaway is God's instructions many times are not difficult to understand. They're not challenging to do. It's just that it doesn't make sense. The logic doesn't make sense to me from my point of view, from our perspective. That said, this is not the first time God operates this way, where we don't quite get it, where he's coming from. In fact, we don't have to turn there, but just the previous chapter in 2 Kings chapter 3, okay, when you have the three kings, not of Orient, but you have Judah, Israel, and Moab, and Edom. These three kings are going up against the king of Moab, and they're out for battle, you know, and they need to, they're in the middle of the desert in the wilderness, and they want to, they're dying of thirst, they're soldiers, they're livestock, they need water. And so they seek Elisha, and Elisha said, it's only because of Jehoshaphat's in your company, he's a good guy, that I'm giving it. I'm not just ignoring you, okay? But then Elisha tells them from God, here's the plan, you three kings, you want to take on the king of Moab, here's the plan, everyone dig ditches. That's the plan, dig ditch. In fact, you know, again, this is in verse 16, just one verse. You go back one chapter, chapter 3, and so they finally get an audience with Elisha. He says, it's only because of Jehoshaphat, he's a God-fearing man. The rest of these two kings, not really. But look at verse 16, and Elisha says, he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. And so take out your shovels, your hose, and just start digging. Now again, militarily, I'll be thinking, what kind of logic is that? Are we digging our own graves? I don't want to do that. Of course, we know God works a miracle, and all the ditches get filled with water. Even though Elisha specifically says, God is not going to use rain. He's not even going to bring the wind. He's just going to bring the water. Now, God works a miracle. Okay, but again, the idea is God provides, even though from a military human perspective, there's no logic, right? But just dig ditches, you know, and again, it's, remember Naaman, the leper, commander leper, okay, he had to dip himself how many times in the River Jordan? 7 times. Of course, he was offended. It's like, what? That filthy river? We have, back where I come from, we have a lot better rivers back then. I'm like, why, you know, he got upset, you know, and then his servant talked him into it. He said, okay, fine. He dipped 7 times. Of course, on the 7th time, he got cleansed. Yeah. Remember the children of Jericho? The children of Israel, they had to walk around Jericho. How many times? 6 plus 7 on the last day. I mean, that one got me, you know, because you march around on day 1, march around on day 2, march around on day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and then day 7, you're going to march around 7 times on day 6, you know, like, ooh, and then the walls come tumbling down. Okay, we know that, so that's fantastic. But again, human logic aside, they're like, Lord, what in the world? I mean, what is, and so the idea is this, many times we cannot understand God's methods, but it's a reminder that it's not so much the focus on the methods, the focus is on our obedience. We can't understand what God is going to do until he does it. And if turn with me to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, and this is why, you know, we can't get it until God does it. And then in hindsight, we're like, oh, wow, praise the Lord. Because look at Psalm 32 and then verse 8, among all the other verses. I mean, Psalm 32, verse 8, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, okay, colon, how? I will guide thee with whose eye? Mine eye. And I'm like this blind child because I can't see it the way God sees it. God sees things, by the way, God calls things not how they are, but how they will be because he's in control. He's a sovereign God. God called Abraham a father of many nations, even before he had a child, okay? Because in God's mind, it's a done deal. So God sees not the way that we see. And because he sees not the way that we see, he leads us, thankfully, not by our eyes, but by his eye. And so he sees the truth, and it's his plan, it's his way, it's his timing. And so all I have to do is obey, even though the instructions might not make sense. But you notice the instructions for the children of Israel around Jericho, for Naaman to dip himself in the River Jordan, you know, to dig ditches. I mean, they are not hard asks. These are not complicated tasks. But it's something that we have to do out of faith. You know, it's something simple, but we do it out of faith. Maybe sometimes we feel like we're collecting empty vessels. All I do, my life feels like I'm just on a hamster wheel. I'm not making any progress. I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm just collecting empty vessels. Maybe I feel like I'm not making much progress. You know, we're obeying God as best as we can, even though we don't quite know how God's will may sometimes play out, or things might connect in the end. Just keep trusting God. Just keep trusting the Lord. Do what we know He tells us to do in the Scriptures. Keep collecting empty vessels. Elisha, here's another. Let's go back to 2 Kings, because he told her not to borrow a few, right? Borrow not a few. So get a whole bunch of them. And I'm so thankful that she went all in. This is amazing, because sometimes we might feel like the widow woman here, and I might kind of play along, and I might get, I don't know, 2 empty tubs. You know, I might think, well, what's the difference? 10 empty containers, 2 empty containers is all empty. So what's the difference? I'm glad she didn't stop there. She's, of course, Elisha tells her, verse 3, that borrow not a few. And then let's read verse 5 with me. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, like he said, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out from that one pot. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. So he says, we're all out, Mom. That's it. We filled every single. And I like to assume they, you know, the camera pans back, and the whole house is just full of containers of oil. Huh? You got to be careful not to tip it over. Okay, so they're all full of oil, and the oil stayed. Now here's wonderful, because she had to obey first by faith, not a hard task, but a task that does not make sense. And then verse 7, then she came and told the man of God. Then she go back and, you know, she says, well, Elisha, Mr. Elisha, we have 200, I don't know, we have 200 gallons, I mean, whatever, however many we have, and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil. Now look at this. And pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children off the what? Off the rest. So now she gets the full picture of God's plan. Before, it didn't quite make sense. Okay, maybe she thought, well, how much oil can one pan stretch it? But now here's the plan. And if I was this widow woman, I would be, on one hand, I would be so thankful if I had gotten truly as many empty vessels as I could, because now they're all full of oil. Or B, I would be kicking myself if I only got 2 empty containers. Because from the context of this, and then, of course, you know, the scripture goes on. But for the context of this miracle, it sounds as though this pot of oil that doesn't fail is a one-time miracle kind of thing. In other words, God would have filled their empty vessels for as many empty vessels as they had. It doesn't tell us whether in that case, let me go grab more. No, it's they moved on now. Now in verse 7, they kind of go back and get more empty vessels. You know, they filled it, and that was it. Even though they didn't know the plan, I'm thankful that she got a bunch of them. And so the takeaway for me is, perhaps I feel that I'm not making much progress in, I don't know, in my ministry, in my life, and whatever, and I'm just getting empty vessels. Friends, if all it feels that we are doing what as best as we can from what God tells us, even if it's empty vessels, that's okay. Just trust God, because God will fill those vessels at some point. It can be so that God will fill it with more oil later, even though right now I seem to be just, all I'm doing is just getting empty vessels. God fills the empty. Of course, it can be the empty vessels in my life. It can also play on words. I could be the empty vessel, you know, where God will only fill a Christian who has emptied himself of self and sin. I mean, just yield it yourself. Lord, just fill me with your power. I'm done with my own self. Lord, I just want to trust you. Take all my pride, take all my self away. Lord, it's your will be done in my life. God's grace covers all his saints. from the widow here to Paul's thorn in his flesh. We know this story. Certainly, Paul, I would assume he wanted the, we know that he wanted the thorn gone. He prayed thrice. Lord, I can do so much more for you if I don't get slowed down by this thorn in my side. But the Lord knew Paul better than he knew himself. He said, oh, no, I don't want you to get too puffed up there, Paul, because of the abundance of the revelations that I'm speaking through you. And God wanted to keep him humble. And Paul was okay with that. He had God's all-sufficient grace. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And all the way from the widow to Paul to Christians today, God's grace is always sufficient. We had a good prayer call on Tuesday. Of course, in the morning, I'm with this pastor group. And I'm just reminded just how many struggles that we have out there. One of the pastors, his daughter-in-law, her kidneys just went out just about a week and a half ago. She's been on dialysis ever since to stay alive. Don't know what happened there. So we're praying for her. Another pastor, his brother-in-law is very, very sick. We're praying for him. Another pastor, his diabetes is out of control. This might be it for him because he's up there in years. Another pastor, he's still sick over a week now. He came back from a mission trip and he's still, still under the weather. That's tough. We have another pastor that we're praying for in our group with chronic back pain. How do you minister when you can't even move? But God's grace is always sufficient. Let's go to Psalm 37. We kind of wrap it up here. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. The Word of God says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Whether it's to collect empty vessels, whether it's to walk around, just walk around Warsaw six times. Say, Lord, I don't know what the logic is. Doesn't seem to, but just whatever God tells us, even if I can't make sense of what His will is in my life, just trust Him. Just trust Him. And He delighteth in His way that's ordered by God. We delight because it's what God tells us to do, where to go. Though he fall, open up tonight's message by reminding ourselves, even godly, faithful families, God-fearing families and ministers can fall in hard times. They were dirt poor, is all they had. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Personally, amen. Of course, David ends it by saying, verse 25, we know this, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What a promise. God fills what is empty, whether it's the empty vessels in our life, whether it's me, I need the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, we all do, but just trust the Lord, don't trust myself, because sometimes we're too smart for our own good. We can't see the end game, and so we just go half-hearted. Don't do that. Just go full tilt, like the widow woman. I'm so thankful she got all the empty vessels that she could get, because what was provided paid off the creditor, and then it was their retirement fund. Man, that's pretty good for the rest of the rest of it. That was going to live on till the boys came of age and whatever. But what a joy! God takes care of His own. Praise God for His mercy. We bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a comfort, Lord, again, to know that you are unchanging, Lord, that I cannot, your ways are not our ways. We know that. Yet, so foolish of me in my pride to try to figure out your plan and try to do it better. Lord, I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. Just let us trust in you, trust and obey, and just read our Bible, pray, go to church, Lord, and just be faithful. That your plan is best, Lord. And Lord, I think of Elizabeth and Zacharias, Lord, and Mary and Joseph, Lord, and Old Testament Joseph, Lord, Abraham, Lord, all these heroes of the faith, King David, Lord, and he's anointed by Samuel, and so he knows he's going to be king, and then he's on the run for 15 years. I mean, Lord, you are in control. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your mercy to us, and just help me to just trust in you to know that it's never unprofitable to obey you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.